What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
We just learned that Dave Bautista was Filipino.
You just learned that?
We just learned that.
Man. Yeah, baby.
We did it because I was like...
Yo, I was like,
this guy's probably he has to be a person of color. He's like he doesn't look white, but I didn't know what he was.
Does he not?
He has the same sort of effect that Dwayne The Rock Johnson has, where you're like, I don't know what he is, but he's not white.
Right. That's exactly right.
How late to the party though, Mike, are we? Like, at what point did you know Dave Bautista was half Filipino?
Drax the Destroyer. It was okay, basically so the second anyone knew who Dave Bautista was. Yeah. Because I'll say, like, Filipinos in general are very, they're very, like fellow countrymen. Like, anyone who does anything, even remotely successful, and they're at least a little bit Filipino, will, like, claim them immediately.
Yeah. I feel like I'm always late to the game. Like, my wife was like, Haley Steinfeld's mix. And I was like, what?
I knew her.
I didn't know, but she
talks about it so much.
I know, but I don't be paying attention. Oh.
Yeah, I don't watch any of it. Yeah, who watches interviews? I don't know.
I do. But, I guess why I'm so mad about Bautista is, like, I'm not mad, but, like, I've watched this dude for, what, 15 years wrestling, doing Bautista bombs, and not, yo, until y'all sent me those articles yesterday, I had never heard him speak of it. And I don't know why, just a rage in my heart just feel it. I'm like, bruh, you were so popular, Bautista. I'm talking about, like, I mean, I remember I was mad when The Rock first started. Listen, I will say this. I used to watch wrestling again, and The Rock didn't start talking about being black until he went bald, all right? And that is 12, 13 years into The Rock's career, man.
No, I actually remember, like, I remember The Rock, like, something happened with, like, a couple of, like, little black boys, like, wrestling with each other. And, like, one of them ended up, like, hurting somebody. And they ended up asking him, like, him as, like, the black wrestler to, like, come in and, like, talk about it. And this was in the, wait, when was he wrestling? 90s? 2000s?
It was, like, in the 90s.
It was then. It was at that time. And that was when I learned that The Rock was black. Or you're like, what is he?
He was a part of, wasn't he a part of a group, though?
He was a part of the Nation of Domination, which always was weird to me, because the thing is, the Nation would always come in and, like, put their black fist in the air and shit, but The Rock never did it.
Like, The Rock, that's not true. The Rock did it. Of course he did.
I'm telling you, dog.
All right,
dog,
I'm just Googled it, and the first picture I see is The Rock.
Is it doing it?
His fist in the air.
No, that's not consistent.
The Rock just blanked that out of it, like...
Hold on. The Nation of Domination. Domination.
Yeah. The Rock. This is literally, hold on. I'm sharing this screen even though our audience can't see it.
We have to tweet this.
Image that came
it's up. Probably the only one they had. It's probably the only one they had.
Wow.
I love it. Jarrah's like, he was in the wrestling for 12 years. He never talked about being black. I was like, wasn't that the first thing he talked about?
Oh, but you know what it is, though? He doesn't have...
I was like, look how black all these dudes are.
He doesn't have the red, yellow, and green.
Find me a
photo
of The Rock with some of the African colors on.
That's okay.
The Rock wasn't in the streets like that, man. I love the Attitude Era. He was my favorite. Him and Shawn Michaels. That nigga wasn't with the shit.
All I'm saying is, man, I got Google, okay? It's pretty easy to do in my spy.
What? Wow.
What?
So, Mike, in case you aren't familiar, Bray does this thing where he...
What? No, I'm
like
saying
a casual transition into the movie title.
No, I'm saying I don't need like a bunch of skills. You know what I mean? It's just Google. You get boop, 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 my spot.
This, wow.
So that's Bray's segue.
That's his segue into.
Yes, Bray.
Oh, I mean, I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I was just looking up The Rock's career. I did a little.
All right, Bray, we heard you.
My spot. All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James III, Drop Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
From Quarantine City.
Have a nice flight, dick.
Yeah. There you go, yeah, James. Okay. James does a line from the movie, but sometimes he be picking lines that ain't nobody remember.
Facts.
But that one was a great one.
Yes, we all know that one, James.
Yes.
Thank you.
For those who don't know, my name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Gerard Milligan.
And my name's James III.
All right. Yeah, you should be. Yeah. Don't be as happy as you are.
Wow. wow. We're not allowed to have joy in these times.
Don't blame us. Blame the quarantine, James. We're usually happier.
We have a special guest in the studio today. What am I waiting for? Don't do... All right, those were drums, and our special guest is Mike Cabalon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Mike, those are snare drums. In case
those are, yeah.
No, oh, yeah, we just snare got drums that go buh 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 buh. I got it.
Thank you, Mike.
No, you don't. That's not right.
He gets it.
We just had a guest explain.
You also kind of played with your fingertips, like you were like typing on a giant keyboard. I was like, yeah, snare drum. I got it.
See that? That's what I call support. Thank you for finally coming on and showing me support. Only took us 5 years. So what are you saying, James?
We just had a guest explain it's the Tippany. The Tippany drum.
I forgot all about that.
Anyway. Mike is a fellow comedian, actor. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff. You've seen him in Orange is the New Black. You've seen him as the tech in The First Purge, which I remember when we watched that, because we did that movie for this podcast, and we were like, oh my, that's Mike! We were very excited. We're always excited when we just watch movies, and we, even if it's like a couple of lines, or like sometimes people don't even have lines because your lines get cut out of the movie.
There's an episode of, oh God, what's the Amazon show that's about love stories?
New York Love Story or something like that, right?
Yeah, I was on the show and I forgot what it's called, but I had a whole scene, and if you watch the final edit, it's like my back, like I'm not in it at all.
Oh no, man, they gotta tell you before you watch it, because I'm like, I don't want to watch one of these episodes and I'm not in it. Then it's like, I'm telling my mama's like, boy, where you at? And it's embarrassing. This is an embarrassing vibe.
Once quarantine, you know, once this all ends, you will. One day in the near future, see him in the new TV show, Mr. Mayor, with the beloved star, Ted Danson.
Yeah, it's weird to plug stuff where it's like, look, I don't have a trailer, photos, or like a release date, but like you'll see a trailer at some point and then just go, oh, yeah, I remember
exactly.
Talking about that.
Yeah. That would be great.
Listen, we're all about the deadline articles anyway, so that's what we live for.
Yes.
That's what every actor lives for, is just to have their own deadline article.
Listen, that's why we do it. That's why we do it, man.
Do it?
I do it for the deadline.
I don't know if you do this, James, but that's why we do it.
I do it for the deadlines, because apparently everybody reads them damn things. That and awards. Mm.
Got it. Yeah, those are of equal weight. Now, We are reviewing the 2020 film. Now, did this actually, this movie come out in theaters? Because I remember, I actually don't know.
No, it's supposed to come out now. It just got to drive-thrus.
Okay, yeah, so it says that it came out the 26th. Like, I'm on the IMDb, and it's like the 26th.
Yeah, it came out Friday. Yeah, so it came out on Amazon. It was a movie that was going to be in theaters, but because of Corona, it never really made it, which is going to be true of a lot of movies, I think. I feel like eventually Disney's going to be like, all right, just put it on Disney Plus, Mulan. You know what I mean? We've been waiting for that one for a while.
Not. I hope not. No,
I want to see Mulan in the theater, man. It's theaters. the most expensive live adaptation. More than Lion King. They made a war movie. They cannot just put that shit.
They put on. I guess Onward got to be in theaters for a couple weeks before.
I just refuse for someone to watch Mulan on their phone first. Like, that just can't be happens.
I think it's the same thing with Tenet. Like, I kind of get why the studio keeps kind of just like going, next week, next week. Because it's like, I do want to see that in theaters. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Me too. We'll see how it goes. Because they are actually going to open up the theaters very, very soon. And I'm AMC going. Switched its position.
I'm going to go.
I'm going to go too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
I got to do it, Mike. I gotta go into theaters. I gotta.
To be honest, these two have been a little quarantine light.
I've been pretty, you know, like when things started open up, I just started, you know, I dipped my toe in stuff.
I'm not gonna lie, I've been risking it all since day one. I don't have no car, so I had to like take Ubers. I've been out here renting cars. It's not that I want to. It's just like if I didn't, because I don't have a car. If I didn't like go to rentals and stuff like that, I would be stuck. So now I just have my system. I got my gloves. I spray everything down. I got my chemicals. I know what I'm doing, baby.
What are Uber drivers like right now? Are they like understanding when you're like, I got to wipe down your car first?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of like, I've been in a couple Ubers where like they will have the wipes you can wipe down. And they have a little, a clear little guard, almost like in a New York cab
to shield
you from them. So I've been in a couple like decked out Ubers, man. Cause don't nobody. If the person doesn't have a mask on, I don't get in the car. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess that's cool to count. So I'm like, you just don't care. So I'm not getting in this car.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's almost like just a signifying that they don't really care. You know? Like
you're driving around a bunch of people. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Anyway, back to this movie. So of course it doesn't really have, it doesn't have a box office because, it didn't come out in the theaters, but, It does star Dave Bautista, as we said, as well as Chloe Coleman, who I know from Upload. I don't know, which is also on Amazon.
Oh, you is Upload any good?
No.
Okay. Listen. I will say this. Upload. It hurts because I remember I had auditions for Upload, and I remember reading it like they're gonna get us to a boring white dude, and the guy who got it was The dude is so boring, man. He is so... But I like the concept of the show. Like, do you even like any part of the show?
No, what? I think the concept of the show is great. I, to be fair, I watched the whole season. So it was good enough for me to finish the season. You know what I mean? Like, which is not true. There are a lot of shows that I have not finished. Like, I started watching and I was like, nah. So the concept is really cool. And there are, like... There are good moments. Like, it's not a bad show. It's just that, like, it's one of those shows where it feels like it has way more potential than is, like, on screen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see a second season. It's also tough because the comedy, it's a really tough balance of comedy. And I personally am, like, more interested in the, like, social commentary that the show, like, makes from time to time. But there's a lot of the comedy that's just, like, silly, like,
yeah,
which is fine, like it can be silly, but it's like I'm like, you can make it silly and still connect it to that this like social commentary you're making, otherwise it feels like you're just using like the social
spectacle.
What I mean, like it's like political stuff, you're like using it to be like, yeah, we're cool, but then like you're like, but the real jokes we want to make are like, you know, a dude who has no penis, you know, or whatever, like.
It got greenlit for a season 2. It came out, I think, on a Friday. It was greenlit by Monday.
Yeah, I bet it has a lot of
It got the quickest pickup ever.
Well, don't spoil it for me, but does anyone get deleted? Like, can you, like, does anyone
James,
get deleted?
That is a huge
don't spoil
why would you ask
it,
that?
But does anyone get deleted? Don't spoil
why
it.
Why would you ask that?
I'll say it's possible. I'll say it is. They establish early on that it's possible to be permanently deleted from the
episode. Okay. What's wrong with you?
Okay. All right. I'm going to watch it then, knowing that that's a possibility.
I mean, I think it's fun. Like, the woman, the main actress is Prince's protege.
Apollonia?
No, he has a younger one. I forgot her name, but she's Bray, she's the tech. The main woman.
She's the main,
So, like, when you think of music, the music guy was like, this is the next music person, and she went into acting?
She went into acting. Yep, that's exactly what happened.
It's kind of a slap in the face of Prince.
This is exactly what happened. And I think one of our friends, Elise, her best friend is the regular girlfriend, or the girlfriend, the blonde, Bray. So it's a lot of people. I feel like we know people on the show. But yeah.
We do talk about, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, the score right now is 51%. It doesn't have an audience score yet because it just came out, I guess. Let's talk about it because I don't agree with that score.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the Metacritic is low, too.
What else? The movie is essentially, I mean, it's a pretty, you know, it's pretty typical, well, fair, you know, it's a CIA agent finds himself at the mercy of a precocious 9-year-old having been sent undercover to surveil her family. So that's the plot. And, let's kick it off. The what?
Batista's, like, I feel like every action hero has this. Like, Rock had Tooth Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel had, was it the babysitter or pacifier or something like that?
The pacifier.
Like, pacifier.
Oh, no, it was the babysitter. The pacifier was Vin Diesel. Oh, wait, did you say Vin Diesel?
No, Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel had one. You know,
Vin Diesel had
Cop.
The pacifier.
Everybody's got one of these.
Jackie Chan had a few, I think.
Yes. Jackie, I mean, shit. Jackie Chan had a couple.
No, The Rock had the Tooth Fairy.
That's what I said.
Oh, find me guilty.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I hate all of y'all.
The pacifier was Vin Diesel. Okay, you said that. All right, my bad.
And Kindergarten Cop. Let us not forget.
Yeah, Kindergarten
you
Cop.
You know about Kindergarten Cop.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
But this movie is Spy Cop and a Half is what this is.
Also, Spy Kids, remember?
Oh,
Antonio Banderas.
Kids.
I guess that wasn't exactly, but like that was more focused on the kids. But Antonio Banderas was in it with them. Wait, who else was in that?
So many of these movies.
Shall we kick it off? Mike, would you like to start? Initial thoughts, just like your initial thoughts of the movie.
I feel like when you said it had 51%, I was like, I'd give it more than that, but not much more than that. I thought it was like. It was fine. It was okay, you know, for what it was aiming for. I think that, like, for a kid's movie, it was like, okay, sure, this is past. Like, your guard kind of goes down with a kid's movie. You're like, I'll give it, you know, we're grading on a curve here. But then, like, from a kid's movie perspective, like, there were mostly in Act Two, there were so many points where it was like, I'm bored and I'm an adult. So, like, I can't even imagine how bored a kid must be right now. You know what I mean? So I feel like for a kid's movie, you constantly need, like, hijinks, and there just wasn't a lot happening in here, you know,
not enough hijinks.
I mean, I feel like Act Two was a lot of like hijinks, but like really boring hijinks. It was like, teach me how to be a spy, and it's like, I don't think kids care about this, you know. Like, I want to see more of like Dave Bautista like falling on his face and doing wacky like Kindergarten Cop stuff, you know.
Yeah, right. I'll follow that just by saying I remember the trailer being the teach me how to be a spy stuff, and I thought it took so long for the movie to get to that. Like, I thought it was going to start there and then we were going to see more of the like him spying what with her like being a spy too, and then probably more like hijinks and like him falling on his face or like her, you know, causing issues for him as a kid, you know, spying with him. But the thing that the trailer takes out that you don't realize is that, like, he's spying on her. So, like, he's spying on them. So that's kind of removed from it because It's not like he has to go on missions and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like he's just there watching them.
Yeah, I thought that was a huge problem, was that like the main mission was not action oriented. It was like, just watch this suburban family. And it was like, what I'm missing is like the action stuff. The only action stuff we got was the very beginning and the very end. And like, it, like in all these other movies that we're talking about, there's always like a threat of like, bad guys are coming in, we got to fight them off like throughout the movie. And in this one, the bad guys are literally on the other side of the world for the whole movie. So there's like there's no fun, like, you know, kids with guns. There's no like action stuff.
Yeah. Where we go, Bray?
Yeah, you go.
Look, man, I like kids' movies.
Okay, go ahead. No.
I like his movies. You want to go? Do you want to go?
I'm just thinking. Let me go. Because I don't want to lose people who like this movie. Who are like, oh, they're just going to crap on it the whole time. Because I'm not. Because I like it. Here's my thing. I hear what you guys are saying, and there's a part of it that I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Because it's like, it's not kids in general, right? It's like very particular. Like, this movie is for like 10-year-olds to like 16-year-olds or like 15-year-olds. It's like a very short.
It's a real narrow audience.
It's narrow.
Here's millions of dollars to make this movie, and we want you to get about 100,000 people in the audience.
I mean, and their parents, but like, it's like, the thing is, it's not, it's like a little too violent for like smaller kids. You know what I mean? Like, there's a part of me, like the beginning of the action scene, like, it's fun and they do it what they can to make it like a little less violent than it is. But like, it's still kind of, it's still violent enough where you're like, all right. I mean, like 7-year-olds aren't like sick. You probably wouldn't want to show this to like a 6 or 7-year-old. But then, like, the middle of the movie is like, yeah, let's, like, not make this movie that violent or actiony. Like, let's have it just be, like, a fun, like, what if you were a kid and you got to, like, own a spy, you know, basically. You know, so that was the fun thing. But I thought the actual story was, like, really sweet and touching. And I thought, like, Dave was actually, like, he's like a really good actor. I mean, we've known that since with Drax and stuff, but like, he like really pulls off some like, you know, nice emotional moments here.
Yeah, I think the kid does too. I think for the most part, all the casting was like pretty spot on. Yeah, it was like impressive. Really good. Everyone really nailed their part.
Yeah, and I was like legitimately like laughing at certain parts of the movie. Like Christian Shaw was really funny. Like, I liked her game.
What a delight. I did not know she was in the movie, and the first frame I was like, oh, she got a bit part, and then she was the whole movie, and I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Before Gerard trashes it.
Yeah.
Before Gerard trashes it, let me just also say, like, I enjoyed myself. I mean, I did. The middle slowed down for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like there are things in it that I was like, oh, this is super fun, and then other things that were just like so questionable. Like one of the early jokes, they do like 7 like music jokes. Just like, isn't this song bad? Like, mm-hmm. they do that mm-hmm. like 10 times
in the beginning.
Row. And then they're also like, they do like a Mickey Rourke Iron Man 2 reference, and I was like, who are the people that even remember what Mickey Rourke sounds
you.
Like?
And you. Iron Man 2.
No, but not me. Like, I don't even remember That's him crazy. Having a bad accent in that. Anyway,
I don't remember that reference.
Right. Oh, you don't remember that reference.
It's, I literally don't even know what you're talking about.
It stuck out to me because they were like, because it just felt so odd. It felt like such an odd thing to even
say. It opens with a reference to Notting Hill. Like,
that's right. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The opening, not only did they realize that reference was so far-fetched, Kristen Shaw had to say it is a Notting Hill reference just so people knew what the fuck was happening. Look, y'all, I'm not going to cap on this movie. Look, man, I like his movie. This movie has a place. I never need to watch this movie again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know this movie exists anymore. It is like watching something that is fine. You know what I mean?
It's That's like how I felt. Somebody, it's fine.
It's fine. You know, I don't feel like I was excited at any point. I do think Dave Bautista is really, really funny. So we got to see funny parts. And like you guys said, the acting was really good. Like, the young girl was great. When she was getting kidnapped, I was like, oh, no, get her. But I was bored, man. And the thing is, I don't know what I expected, but when it started with like Bautista doing all the cool stuff in slow motion, I'm like, yeah, he's going to teach this. Like, he's going to be talking about spy stuff. The girl's going to stumble on it. And then, like, she's going to, like, want to be a spy because he's like, no, this is dangerous. And then he has to go save her or something. But the middle of the movie could have been a montage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The middle of the movie could have just been a montage of just like, oh, we're getting close. Great. It was a montage of happiness. Then they stopped. Then they had a scene of him being nice. Then another montage, then another scene of him and the mom getting close, and then a montage. Like, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. I watched this movie.
Relationships were being built, man. Happened. That's what was happening.
Also, the end of the movie. This fight is trash. I'm supposed to believe this little ass dude supposed to beat up Dave Bautista, and this dude can't even fight? Why was that fight for so long? The dude wasn't like a kung fu dude. When they were fighting on the runway. That fight went for too long, man. This dude was giving Bautista too much.
He had a knife in his hand.
Midway through the fight, he just brings out a knife. And I'm like, I done seen Bautista with dudes with guns point. Yo, Bautista was surrounded by guns.
Yeah, yeah.
And got out in slow motion. This one ass dude with a knife? I don't make sense. I'm sorry, man. It was cute. Also, the mom I'm in love with. So, you know, that's cool. But yeah, man, I don't know what to say. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna just get it out of the way right now. I'm mad as hell that bad guy had to be a white dude. Could have just been a black dude. The daughter just could have been light skinned. It don't make no fucking sense.
Wait, why? Hold up.
Because, man, this is my thing. This is my thing. I am very happy that Hollywood is diversifying movies. Like, again, like when I watch Spider-Man, when I watch like Wrinkle in Time, it's like you have this mixed black girl where it's like, yo, there are just light-skinned people who have black dads and moms. Like, you don't have to keep having the mom be black just so a famous, not this guy isn't famous, but a white dude could be whatever lead. It could have just been a black dude. It wouldn't have done anything.
So
it
would have
done nothing.
That the picture of the dead dad
I'm saying, like, because basically the bad guy had to be the brother. So in order to get the white bad guy, the dad.
But
why did you
Why did you want the bad guy to be black?
Because I wanted, one, it'd have been nice to have a black person in the movie, and two, this just shows another example of like, we will have a black kid in the movie, but she cannot be all the way black. You know what I'm saying?
There was a black man in the movie.
The stereotypically gay neighbor.
Yeah.
Who's there for shits and giggles.
Yeah, Sarah has a thing of
like,
neighbor.
Yeah, we like ice skating. I was like, man, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I liked the little twist that they were.
Do you think that actor's not actually gay?
I'll bet you anything he's not.
He doesn't have a wiki.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoy Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled Earnin in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. there's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Gene Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ki Hoi Kwan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Leo, and Ben Wang. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
It's hard because
He went to Tisch.
He was in I know him from I didn't see enough.
They say he's Grey's Anatomy and some other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. My thing is hard because again, I've been watching Pose and a bunch of other shows where people talk about like and listen to a lot of Billy Porter interviews. Damn, I do listen to interviews, that's crazy. And he just talks about how like if you see a gay person, if it's in a comedy, it is played up that they're like very flamboyant. And I'm just watching this movie, I go, yeah, you're going to have little kids laughing at the gay guy for,
I guess it's not really our place to have this discussion, but I don't know if I totally agree with that. Like I think he's just doing like him. Like, I think he's, you know, if he has that much energy in real life and like he was funny, like, you know, it didn't feel like a caricature. It didn't feel like they were like, it's funny that he's gay.
Yeah, I think I agree with you as far as like his energy and performance goes. But like the two kind of like big moments that I remember for that character are like just like the joke structure of just like, you think that just because I'm blank that I like blank, blank and blank. Yeah, you're totally right. You know what I mean? Like that joke structure is kind of hacked to me. And then also the whole deal, just like, we need to give you a makeover. It's just like, ugh, come on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I think about it like this, because Bray, I think you're right. Like, I can't speak maybe, you know, for if it's offensive, but if this character went to two black people and like all of a sudden this black character raps and, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, are you about to, man, we got this spoken word poem. Do you mind like helping my daughter? Just because I'm black, you think I'm good with rhyming and poems? Well, I am, but I can't do it today, you know? Mm-hmm. Or if, like, later on, the guy's getting ready to go on a date, and he's like, nah, man, we got to toughen you up real quick. And I physically change his outfit to be more hip-hop, you know what I mean? I think I would be mad.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I feel like they undercut it by, like, those guys at the end being actually, like, independent contract killers. And they were like, no, we were just doing that to, like, feel like making you feel comfortable, but we're actually like this. But it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, but you got to do it. Like it's one of those like writing tricks where you're like, no, see, they're not like that. But it's like, but you made them like that.
You still did the joke.
You still did the joke.
Now justified the joke.
That's fair. That's fair. I would be interested to know. Yeah, people found that offensive. Because they were fun. I thought that the two of them were like funny. I loved the like contrast between like, you know, somebody being high energy and then the other person like not even talking.
Just grunting the whole time.
I feel bad for that actor that he didn't get any lines. I will say the one casting misfire is that the quiet gay guy, because he looked like a body double for Dave Bautista. Like the very first shot is him like walking by in the background. And if he had looked at all visually different from Dave Bautista, it would have been like cool. But at first I was like, is that his character? What's happening here? I don't understand what's happening.
Yo, that was crazy.
That's fair. All right.
Okay. There were things I liked about this movie. I did think the opening was really fun. Like
so much fun. Yeah.
Notting Hill, not gonna lie to you guys, one of my favorite rom-coms. It's a great line, you know? I knew exactly what it was. And I love the blowing up in slow motion. But also, this is the first time I ever noticed, because this is a kids movie, there was a shootout and Batista was killing people, but we never actually saw someone get shot. Because, like, I didn't realize people were dying until the next scene where Kim Jong goes, yeah, these people died, and they cut back to the slow motion. I was like, oh, that was them dying? I thought he, like, kicked them or something. But yeah.
Yeah, this opening scene was so fun. And I also love, like, that was one of the first when he was like doing that accent, and the guy's like, that accent's terrible, you know? And they're like, what's he gonna do? And then he was just like, all right, guys, you got me. I don't know, that voice change was like spot on to me. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, did you like, you were talking about the song stuff. Did you think it was like overdone, James? Or
yeah, it felt overdone, and also felt like the song references felt dated to me. Like I was like, oh, I'm not even like shouldn't there be? Aren't there other songs that you can probably don't have the rights to play, but like that you could play right now.
They didn't even have rights to these songs because they were all like weird Russian. I feel like it was like a directorial compromise. Be like, yes. I want this song, and they're like, we can't get the rights. We can get the rights to the Russian version. They're like, it takes place in Russia. That works. And it's like, it still right. would have been better to just have the English version of the song.
I mean, it definitely felt like a millennial, like a later millennial wrote this move, wrote and directed
the movie.
Right, because
now
all of the references, because like they did, the first one was like, or one of them was like Red Balloons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that was popular when I was in high school. Like,
and I did say out loud, oh, hell yeah, when it started. That was my immediate reaction.
But the thing that's kind of confusing about that is I'm like, okay, but like, do the people, the millennials who've had kids already, like, their kids aren't old enough to see this movie yet, right? Or maybe some of them are.
Yeah, some are. Yeah.
Maybe.
Some are. Some are, but I feel like, maybe not. Maybe I'm lying. I don't know. But I feel like I'm 31, if I had a kid, even if I had a kid, like, when I was 25, that kid's, like, 6. Feel like that's too young to watch this movie.
Yeah, it's too young to appreciate the references to like the Fortnite dances, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's again this thing where it's like, I don't know what age range they're really aiming for in this movie, because it's kind of just like everyone.
That's the one thing, and maybe that's why they're like cool to put this on streaming, because it is kind of a perfect streaming movie where I'm not mad, like Jarrell, like I don't feel like I wasted my time. But if I had paid for it, I would feel differently.
Are movies now different though? Basically what you just said, because I've been thinking about that a lot. Where like there are movies that I'm kind of happy are now on demand, but does that make it weird? Because it's like there is the crapshoot going to the movie of not knowing if it's going to be good or not. But now because there's such an option of I don't feel like I wasted my time. Will I ever take a chance to see this? If I didn't have kids or something, would I ever take a chance to see this movie in a theater now? Because
I think it was already happening before so many of these movies became available on demand. Like people were already kind of like, I don't know, like movies are so expensive. Like, are they going to be good? It's why these bigger franchises and like huge blockbuster movies are happening all year round now, when they used to only happen in like the summer. But like, yeah, now like, come, I mean, it's gotta be a movie like I'm just thinking about the movies that like, if none of this Corona stuff happened, I'm still like, yeah, I had the movie pass, which is why the only reason I was seeing movies. But if I didn't have that, I'd be like, yeah, there's like Mulan, Tenet. Like there was only a couple movies I would have really like been like, I have to go see this. And then the rest, maybe, but probably not. Like, I only will if like a bunch of people are like, we're all gonna go to see Onward. Like, I like even Pixar, I like there are some movies where I'm like, I don't know if I would have saw that in theaters.
I would have wanted to see that. I mean, when I saw the trailer, I was like, I can't wait to see this. So I probably would have seen this movie in theaters. But it would have been like, it was on the line, like, right, of the like, oh yeah, maybe I'll see that in theaters.
It's also weird because this movie was like Stuber came out not too long ago, and it felt similar in dynamic. Like it was like somebody who was he a spy?
He was a cop.
He was a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like, okay, some type of law enforcement, you know. and then yeah, with somebody who doesn't. I mean, it's a different one. Like, that's like a more of like a buddy comedy. And this one, I mean, I guess this is a cup buddy comedy too. I don't know. Did anybody see Stuber?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was better than people gave it credit for.
It was like this movie. It was like,
got it.
Yeah, I watched it. It was,
yeah,
it was fun. Yeah, like I said, it's like, yeah, cool, man. You know, the thing is, it's hard for me now looking at Kumail and be like, Kumail, am I saying Kumail?
Kumail. Kumail.
It's hard looking at him and now knowing what he looks like. And even in Stuber, you could tell he got the Marvel job because he's not as like geeky looking anymore. Like, it's hard for me to think that you are this geeky of a person when you are 6 foot something and I can see that you have muscles now. You know what I mean?
It's like, that always distracts me. I watched The Way Back earlier this year and I remember thinking like Ben Affleck still has Batman body and it's weird.
It's like, yeah, you're a big buff. And again, I'm not saying everyone who's like tall and like with muscles can fight, but I'm like, it is, if you walked up on me, I'm definitely going to think, oh shit, how am I going to get out of this? Because you're 6'2" with muscles, man.
I don't know. Like, once a geek, always a geek, right? Like, they have the energy. They can connect to the energy.
It's true. His wife did say he has muscles and still plays video games every second he can. Exactly. Wait, I do want to talk about Dave Bautista real quick, though. All right, hear me out, okay? Look, again, I like Bautista. I am just in shock because Mike, I told him I'd bring this up, all right? Because I think I have a problem, and I need to deal with this, people. I have a problem where, like, I'm a person who cannot hide their diversity, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So when, like, even at the comedy place we used to all perform at UCB, we've had friends who, over the last course of the years, all of a sudden became real ethnic. Not saying they weren't before, but they didn't use the names. There was not a lot of outspokenness about being diverse when it felt like it could have helped. So I think I'm having a big struggle when it comes to like a person like Bautista. And again, I've watched him for a long time, and now knowing that he is a POC, it's like, wait, where were you when we needed you, brother? Because it almost feels like, I don't know the right word. Not saying an opportune time. I do understand people have their, James has quoted me on this a lot. I do understand people have their own, take their own time to realize what they want to express and, you know, whatever. It's just hard for me because I'm like, if you've been diverse this whole time, people needed you. Like, there have been people who have been fighting for like diversity for so long. And it just feels like opportunistic to now be like, yo, me. I can do this where I'm like, as a black person, this shit does not fade. I cannot hide it. So when I see Bautista, this is great, but I still don't. Let me Google shit before I.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me, too. Like Mike said at the beginning of this, that like if anyone's a little Filipino, we claim them. Like, I thought that was an interesting comment, right?
Yeah. I've only been to the Philippines once. I went in high school for like 2 weeks. And at that point in time, like, the very first guy to have scaled Everest was like, who was also like, I don't know, maybe like half Filipino, had like a world tour in the Philippines. Like, they had cardboard cutouts of him at the mall. He was doing like a book signing and it was like, he's like not even full and he climbed a mountain and like that. And we still like went fucking crazy for him.
That's amazing. Right. And for me, I'll just speak to my experience, like Gerard saying that he can't hide his blackness because you can't hide your skin tone, right? But I like wasn't black. I wasn't black in middle school or high school. Like I wasn't, you know, like, and I felt that way and I acted that way and I said some trash things that I won't repeat right now. But like, and it took me, like, you know, And I think it's because of America and, you know, relationship to blackness in America and versus like relations to white people in America as a black person, that it took me a while to do that. And it's like, even though I know I can't hide my blackness, I felt like that's even a totally different thing. It seems to me that like Dave has been like, hey, I'm Filipino, and like outwardly been like, I'm Filipino this whole time. We just haven't noticed that or no, or we haven't known that as people that haven't been paying attention to that. But like, you know, but then I also feel like there are some people who even people who later in life embrace diversity, like it can even be like a thing of like, oh, I felt like I couldn't be, like I felt like I shouldn't be this. So yeah. So I hid that.
I'm so glad you said that, because that applies to me like 1,000%. Like I it's a reckoning I've had recently to come to terms with the fact that it's like part of my privilege is that I can usually pass for being at least half white. But I like I'm 100% Filipino. So for the listeners who haven't seen me, Filipinos typically a shorter, darker people, 6 feet tall. I've got light skin. Like people, they're like, it's that same thing where it's just like, I know you're something, but I don't know what it is. And I can usually get away with like being like mixed race or whatever. And so that's like, that's as far as acting goes, that's been a privilege. I'm like, I know that I'm getting more parts because I don't like quote unquote look super Asian. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I definitely grew up in that same boat, James, of just like not wanting to hang out with other Asians and not wanting to like, you know, like not wanting to like anime or like cool cars. You know what I mean? Just is like those feel like Asian things. And I don't want to be that.
And it's such a, I don't know, like the only other thing that I'll say about it, you know, because obviously we went through what we went through and are where we are now. But like it, I have only just felt comfortable even saying that out loud, like, and realizing mm-hmm. like, and realizing like, even though I did that and it was wrong, and I had people in my life tell me like exactly what like Jirah is saying, like, bro, you you are black. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it is such a hard thing, and it's a thing that like, you know, not it doesn't happen for everybody, and not everybody like has it, but it's like it is hard for the people that have gone through
it's
it.
It's funny because it's like, didn't they, one of the most impactful episodes of The Fresh Prince, I feel like, dealt with this exact thing.
Yes.
Especially for you, right? Like when they're in the South and Carlton's like, I don't understand. Like, oh, they didn't understand. And Will's like, no, dude, they pulled us over because we're black. And he's like, no. I was driving too slow. Like I was under the, yeah. you know. And he's like, that's not a thing. Right. Like I remember, and he's like, and no, they do
they do another one later where Carlton's like trying to join the fraternity, and they're like, and they say to him that he's not black, and he goes, no, I am, you know, he has to like fight against that. I just feel like there's so many, like, to use a horrible term, but shades and like layers and like, you know, but like to that.
But it's
that,
true. Like, it's like, and that's the thing. It's like, and all mixed people don't have the same thing either, right? Like, I'm mixed, but like, I'm not like Haley. And it's, I feel weird about it, to be honest, because it's like, I think about like somebody like Haley Steinfeld or like Derek Jeter, who like, could absolutely pass for like white by the majority of the population if they never said anything, if they didn't know about their, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. no, I didn't know that Haley Steinfeld was like mixed at all. Like, and unless you told me, I wouldn't know. And there's something, but like with me, it's like, I'm clearly not white. Like, I couldn't pass for white, but a lot of people grow, like, I look ethnically ambiguous. So like, sometimes people are like, oh, are you Dominican? Are you, you know what I mean? Like, are you Latin? Are you like Afro-Latino? Like, they don't know exactly what I, like people, and people say that a lot. Like I still have people, you know, who don't know sometimes. And they're like, wait, what, like, what's your background? You know what I mean? So that, like, that is a certain place. And then you have people who are like light skin, like, what's her name here?
The mom?
Chloe?
The mom.
Yeah, Chloe.
Oh, the mom and the kid. I think that was another stroke of in the casting where it was just like, that kid does look like she's about half of whatever the mom is.
Dude, I literally, when the mom came up, I was like, they look, I've actually rarely ever seen a parent look so much like, especially when it's like mixed race or like that kind of thing. Like, they look so much alike. Because we've talked about it, like, like, you know, Dwayne Johnson in San Andreas, like, it's like him and this and this white woman are parents, and then like their daughter is what's her name?
Alexandra Daddario. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Alexandra Daddario. It makes no sense.
That was like immediate. It was on. So. Daryl had the name on deck. Just
because I've seen her with Jonathan before, like in LA at a coffee shop. But then it's just like, even when I saw her in person, like, how were you supposed to be the daughter of The Rock?
Yeah, like you look nothing like you look like the mom, but you look nothing like the person who is your dad. And it's like, and then you think about that and you go, okay, which is fine. Like, it's Hollywood. And I guess Hollywood does this a lot, but then it's like, but it's like, because those like families in particular have been used as an excuse to not hire black actors and be like, well, it's not realistic. Like, you know what I mean? It's like this thing that when it comes to casting feels strange. But I've also known that like even though I don't look white, because I'm not as dark skin as James or Jarrah, like there's a privilege to that too, because as we're seeing with a lot of these movies, you know, especially I don't know why, but especially with black women, there's a lot of like lighter skin black actresses who are getting parts, a lot of parts, and it's like dope, cool for all of them, but like, why is it so consistently light skin black women who are getting parts? You know what I mean? Like, it's like the individuals, I'm never mad at the individual, like, and these actresses are all good, like, Zendaya, Tessa Thompson, you know, Zoe Kravitz, like, what's
all
her name?
All the famous ones making movies besides Lupita.
Yeah.
And Zendaya recently said, like...
Stop saying Lupita's not making movies. She's making movies.
No, she's making movies.
Her voice in the movie.
You know what I'm saying? All the famous, all of the young, sorry, let me clarify, all the young, under like 40 black women in movies.
It's like Lupita and all of them.
Yes,
right.
Lupita and everybody else.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Yeah, because it's like, what's her name from The Hate U Give?
Amandala.
Amandala. And then you have Q. I always forget how to pronounce her full name.
Vonjanae Wallace.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And then also, what is her, the young girl from Wrinkle in Time, who also plays Zendaya's sister on a show? What is her name? Let me get my.
Oh, is that not Vonjanae? Oh, no, you're right. Storm Reid.
Storm Reid.
And the thing is, it's tough
just
because,
like my sister.
It's tough because, like, I am very happy that now black women are in these projects. It's just tough that it's like, oh, I would, again, like, my family, I may be considered light in my family.
I guess
so, like, my family's, like, super dark skinned. And it's like, it would be really nice to take one of my, like, cousins to a movie to see a young girl who looks like her in one of these. Because even if I look at, like, a Disney and the Frog movie, again, I'm not going to talk about it, but, like, we don't see that black girl for most of the movie. She's a frog for the whole damn near movie. So it's like, it's so hard to see someone who looks like you on that screen. And I know I had a hard time because I realized once I wanted to be an actor, it's like, oh, all those movies and young actors you like aren't black because Michael B wasn't popping yet. So it's like, every time you meet an agent, so whose career do you want to be? I'm like, oh man, Shia LaBeouf does it. He's white. Yeah, but you know, he's young. He got the same vibe. Pick a black guy. It's like, And I hadn't seen Friday Night Lights yet, so I had no idea. But I think even watching this movie, it's like, it is a good movie. And I don't, again, the acting was great. It's just hard because you could have diversified the look of people sometimes. And they just didn't. And I feel like that's just a trend. Like, again, watching Spider-Man, I'm so happy for, before Zendaya came in, but what was the other girl's name? She's in Hollywood on Netflix now. But like, her dad was Michael Keaton out of nowhere. And I was like, what the hell is this? like, Darren Criss, I found out, was like...
He's another Filipino, dude.
Yeah, Darren Criss.
I was like, yo, what is happening? But anyway.
Yeah. I was looking this up. Like, there's this article about... sorry, I'm going back to our talk about Devere Smith, who plays the black gay man Devere Rogers. Is that his name? Anyway, but there's this article that says that that they got praise for the representation for the movie. Because this thing said it's the best LGBTQ plus character representation I've ever seen in a kids movie before, because the characters were not just shoehorned in, they were key to the narrative.
Was the article written by DeVere Rogers?
Well, also I'm trying to think, how many gay characters have
seen that was kids like movies? Kids, this was cinema from Cinema Blend. What?
I'm trying to think about, like, I haven't seen kids movies in a while, but like, I'm trying to think of how many gay characters you've seen.
The first thought that comes to my mind is Harvey, he talks like this
Firestein.
Harvey Firestein. I just
Miss Delphine, yes.
Weinstein kept coming in my head. And I was like, I'm gonna say it wrong. I'm gonna call him Harvey Weinstein. But in Mrs. Remember in Mrs. Doubtfire when
his character is gay in the Mrs. Doubtfire?
I think so. That's just my memory of it, because he goes to the and I'm thinking of it as in context of this movie. Like, he goes to them to get the makeover, right? Like, that is they are who make him over.
Oh,
and I'm wondering if that's like the same kind of thing of like, the gay character's gonna make us over in this movie, you know, or whatever.
Right. You're right. I think the makeover scene, I think you are 100% right though, Mike. That's definitely a stereotype that they like fully just do.
Yeah, I hear you guys. It's like, I guess it is like a net good that it's like, yeah, you can expose kids to gay people in movies and sort of normalize it, but then to just be like, and the gay people are the ones who do the makeovers, is like, well, okay, two steps forward, one step back, you know.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
But yeah, the middle of this movie is, you know, it's just a bunch of scenes. Like you have the dance, you have the ice skating scene where he's falling. It's actually like everything's in the trailer. I remember like a lot of the jokes were in the trailer, and I saw the trailer a bunch. So there were like parts where I was like, oh, this is funny. This would have been funnier if I hadn't already seen it. But, you know, and it's all typical. It's like, yeah, he's falling down with the, you know, the ice skating, and then he when he takes the mom out on a date, he dances and he's bad at dancing, but then everybody likes it, you know.
By the way, can I just say that I still don't understand why daughter wanted Dave Bautista and mom to get together. There was never any reason like why she thought he was it was just like, here's a guy, you're not allowed to like other people, you're gonna date my mom.
Yeah, I was also very skeptical of this just relationship. Like, even though, like, they had the story of, like, he helped me from, he works upstairs and he helped me when some boys knocked me down. I was just like, Now he just coming over to the house, like, what?
Yo.
Like, they just were like, they were fine with everything. And then,
Could you imagine? Imagine your kid having an adult friend.
I'm never seeing that guy again.
Like, my thing is, I don't even care if it was, because I think I was watching a movie and Rachel goes, oh, would you be mad if it was a woman friend? I was like, yes. I don't care if it's man or woman. It is a full-on adult with my 9-year-old child. It's like, where are your friends? Why are you near here? I'm like, we got to move. Like, I'm just like, we got to move. I don't even want to start this process.
But what it is, what it's I think it is it's watching it as an adult, because as a kid, this would have meant nothing. This would have meant absolutely. The other thing that hits harder as an adult is every time I saw him fall, I was just like, damn. A man need a long bath after that one. Would have never occurred to me as a kid.
Yeah, also, I didn't realize Dave Bautista is about to be 52 years old.
Yeah.
So he's like an adult, man. Yeah, he's 51 right now, going on 52 years old. Whoa.
I want him to play my dad in a movie someday. I think that would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
You should have your dad to be a buff-ass dude walking in there. What's up, son?
So this is also what I, like, when we're talking about, passing and stuff. It's like, if you've seen a 52-year-old Filipino man, he does not look like Dave Bautista. Like, muscles aside, just, like, that's not what we age like, you know what I mean? And so it's like... I appreciate the representation of, like, you know, having him in the movie, but it's also just like, let's not act like he's the paragon of what a Filipino man looks like.
Right. Yeah. That is the thing that's like, it's like where you do this kind of, it's cool. Like, it's cool to see the normalizing of, like, whatever, it doesn't, you know, but then it's like, it's not necessarily the experience, you know, we're not getting a lot of Filipino culture actually at all.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this movie, or at all. And The Rock was similar. It's like, I remember, like, doing the promos for, you know, what do you call it, the spinoff Fast Five.
Oh, Hobbs Nine. And Shaw.
Come on, baby, that's Hobbs the best one.
Hobbs and Shaw is the best
one.
Oh,
sorry.
Fast Five is the best one.
Sorry, you see Braylon look at me like, nigga, what did you say?
I think the only reason Fast and Furious got good was because The Rock came in it, but Hobbs and Shaw was not it.
Did y'all see his face? Hey, I want everyone to know at home. Braylon was stopped and looked dead in the screen like, what? Sorry,
but I was just gonna say, like, Hobbs and Shaw, like The Rock talks so much about, like, yeah, it's cool. I'm like, I'm finally getting to show, like, my Samoan, like, culture. And he had Moana, like, come out earlier, and I was like, yeah, but, like, it took you so long to do this. Like, and not that it's not that I, like, he has a responsibility. Like, he's, you know, like, he was following, like, Will Smith's thing. He's just like, I want to be the best, like, the biggest actor in the world, you know, and, like, that alone, like, that somebody of my heritage can do that is cool, which is absolutely true. The problem is when, like, people are like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, there's so much representation. You have The Rock, you have Will Smith, like, you know, like, you guys get to do stuff. And it's like, okay, you have one actor in movies, like, you know, kind of most of the time losing, you know, how the world sees them in a lot of ways, and, like, losing whatever culture or kind of experience that they can bring, which, again, okay, but if that's the only thing that you have, then it's not really comparable. Like, you have so many movies talking about, you know, the quote unquote white experience, or you know what I mean, like, with white people, yeah, the leads, and they're, like, talking about their specific culture, like, so in so many different ways, and, like, empathizing with them, empathizing with the things that they're dealing with, empathizing with, even in comedy, like, empathize, like, how many times have we empathized with white people feeling weird about race? Like, how many jokes are there where it's like, they say something, like, and, like, and then the person is like, are you saying something racist? And they're like, oh no, you know, I don't mean to, oh, and we're like, ha 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 ha. It's funny because, like, we know that they didn't mean to, but, like, the people of color are making them feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like yeah. That's where the comedy is coming from, the stress of the white person, not the black person, or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not the person of color who's feeling Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
No, but that's real, because basically the comedy is coming from the person of color just being normal and regular, and then the white person not knowing how to deal with that. Like, it's basically like, oh, the joke is, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I'm making a joke that is based on race, where the person of color is just existing in a normal space, not actually being funny, but you're finding humor in something of, oh, I'm white and I don't know how to act around you. And that's what's funny. That is one of the main problems I have with a certain TV show that James said I'm not allowed to crap on in public. Wow. Because that's what the whole show is based on. It's just a white person feeling uncomfortable around black people, and it just bothers me to such an extent I can't.
I can't wait to hear what the show is once we're done recording.
Oh, listen.
How do you describe a specific premise and then say, I'm not allowed to talk about it in public?
But see,
a specific TV show, this is the premise?
I don't think that's the premise of the television.
If you watch this show, Mike, I'm going to tell you off air. And I have watched the majority of episodes. Every episode is like this person interacting with different black people and being awkward because he doesn't know how to act around the black people.
Now my mind's racing. I'm trying to guess.
That is
like,
exactly. It could be any show.
Listen, you're allowed to have issues and criticize shows. I mean, what is our podcast?
That's all we do. I don't know why this show is the one that you can't talk about. Like, as if it has any more power that we've like. We literally were just talking about Upload. That show was made by the creator of The Off. Like, come on. Like, Greg Daniels has way more power than freaking.
Don't say it.
Whatever the show is. Whatever the show is.
You say it.
I'm not saying it. Anyway, let me go back to this movie. Okay, I will say this, though. I do agree with Braylock in one thing. I do think this movie, even though I felt like it could have been handled in a montage, no matter how creepy it actually was, I do think they tried to show a genuine friendship between Batista and the young girl. And even I think the relationship with the mother was plausible because it wasn't fast. Like, when they first met, she hated him, kicked him in the nuts, and then the next time she still didn't like him. And it had to be a thing that was like kind of won over. And I also liked that Batista wasn't cool in a way. Like when they first went home on a date, he wasn't the cool dude who could like get a kiss from the mom. You know what I mean? Like he kind of stood there awkwardly and then left. You know, I kind of did like how they took away, I guess, how his facade looks versus how he actually acts, which I thought was cool. I think the bad guy, though, was just... like, we didn't build up this dude being scary in any way.
Yeah, I said this at the beginning. It was just like, you put the bad guy on another continent for the whole movie. Like, every time it cut away, I was like, I understand why from, like, a filmmaking perspective, we need to see what the bad guy's doing, but I just don't care. Like, those were the bathroom breaks for me, you know what I mean?
I also thought we were going to see the bad guy, like, kill the woman who was following him, because he knew so soon. But then, like... he did it, and like his whole thing was just to fake his own death. And I get it; it got us to the end in a way that made sense. Like it made sense, but yeah, I mean, you're right. Like I wasn't scared of that guy. I wasn't scared of that guy at all. So much so that I was like, when they like took Dave Bautista hostage, I was like, I don't understand. He can't get out of this situation, but he got out of a situation which he was. Literally all surrounded guns. On all sides by people with guns, like all sides, like the front and the back of him were surrounded by people with machine guns. But you couldn't get out of a situation in which one person had one gun to you and there was another dude there? Huh? Like that didn't make any sense. I loved that the next door gay couple were there to like steal it and they didn't get beat by the bad guy either. They only got stopped because of Christian Shaw, like, almost killing everybody.
Okay, so this is a thread that we should pick back up. Christian Shaw's character, no arc at all. It made no sense. She's mad for the whole movie, and then she's not mad. Yeah.
She just wants to be a spy.
Her whole thing was she wants to be trained as a spy, and he won't do it, but he trains this little kid, so he's mad at her, and he's like, I'm your partner, and then it, like we're supposed to be like, oh, like she's really hurt, and then when she actually tries to do spy stuff, she's really bad at it, And then she's like, I actually don't want to do that. I like being the tech.
I just want to be in the truck. I was like, what?
Can I say, and I know it's a small thing because it's 2020, but I personally loved that the tech was a white person, like a white woman.
Sure.
And that the bad guy was a white, like the white people in the, in, and I think it was intentional. Like the white people who were in the movie were like smaller parts, and they're the parts that usually people of color get. Like,
true.
It's usually the like, you know, some like Arab terrorist or whatever who's the, or you know what I mean, who's the bad guy, and like and the lead of, and like, you know, Ken Jeong was like the head of the CIA, you know, or whatever, he was head of their missions and stuff, and like it was a woman who was the good, like the person that you could always, you're like, oh man, that's the, like that's the top agent. And And the tech person is almost always a person of color. Like, how many times have all, literally, we've all been in the same audition.
That's true.
For like
yeah.
the tech, like all four of us have been in the same audition for the tech role in a television show or a movie. Like, we all have done it. Like, we could pull up our like signs.
Wow, that is crazy.
And because it's like, it's always, the tech person's always like, yeah, we'll just give that to like some minority. Like, I don't know. What,
and
it's like,
and, yeah. Like, I know we already crapped on this turn moment, but the line, nobody suspects the gay next door neighbor, like that line, it's like kind of like points to that as well. Like, I wasn't thinking at any point that I was like, oh, this is the, these are the fun characters.
Yeah, like, never. Yeah. It didn't even cross my mind. Like, it was completely surprising. And it was that thing, like, I feel like we talked about this in the, what was the movie? The Wayans brothers movie, Damon Wayans movie, his like,
the Groundhog Day one.
No, not that one.
This is an older
did
one.
Did you see that though, Mike?
No. Anyway, him and Marlon do this thing where they like play these very stereotypical characters, and it's
white
like, no. I meant for this one bit, It was a movie where he was Mo Money. It is Mo Money.
Okay.
Did you say Mo Money?
I thought Jarrah said Mo
no,
Money.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well,
yeah,
Mo Money.
It was Mo Money. And we were talking about it. It was like the character that they're playing is offensive, and they are playing it for comedy, but in the situation, they're doing it because they know that the white person that they're talking to will react a certain way, and they can like steal something because of the uncomfortability that's happening. You know what I mean? It was like, it's like using the stereotype, and like, it's questionable, but there's a part of me that's like, yeah, but like, when you really think about it, there's a commentary on like, you, the audience, thought that this was just some stereotypical gay couple, and that's what they were playing up so that they could do their jobs of like, getting close to you and then like getting this whatever it was. Uranium.
Yeah, I know. I feel like the Asian equivalent
unobtainium, whatever it was.
The Asian equivalent I feel like I see all the time is just like, just to get someone off their back, an Asian character will go, no, speak English, and then keep walking, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just like, we're gonna lean into the stereotype for a second to advance the plot, and it's like,
That's in so many things. Like, that exact thing is in so many things.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
I guess the, like, continued use of it is, like, it's like a little hack. It's like, all right, come up with other ways now.
But
anyway, I just wanted to speak to that. It was still kind of cool.
That is
like,
true.
You know. I did feel, I felt for, her name's Chloe, right?
The kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt for her so much because she was just, like, she's just like the smart kid who like other people didn't like, probably just because she's smarter than them. You know what I mean?
Okay. So let's talk about the kid relationships for a second. Cause I think I think what they were trying to say was she's weird because like she's new, she's from France. Cause they do the whole like pep talk in the mirror first day of school or whatever.
Right.
But then like by the end of the movie, like she has friends, but they're not the bullies from the original scenes. Like it's a totally different group of kids. She didn't overcome the bullying from group A. She just became friends with group B.
Right.
Which is what
it would be weird life. If she was friends with the bullies, though, because I'd be like, don't be friends with them. They suck.
I guess. But that's like the arc you're supposed to see in a movie is like you overcome your thing. And then, like, you know, the people you had conflict right. with, now you're friends.
Yeah. Like they realize the error of their ways. And like, yeah.
Well, yeah, those bullies are still bullies at the end of the movie.
Yeah, they are. They would have to, in order for me to be happy about her becoming friends with him, they would have to be like, we're so sorry. Our parents actually just sat us down and talked to us about race, and holy crap, we have a lot of learning to do.
How crazy would that part have been in the movie? Listen, I know we're nine, but I want you to know that I see you, I hear you, and I will never do this again.
I'm learning to become an anti-racist. We're going to get that in 15 years.
Yeah. Yo, honestly,
in 15 years, we're going to get that.
I do think it's going to be a situation where, like, when kids go to school, it is so funny. Because I went to a predominantly black school up until high school. But from kindergarten until eighth grade, it was, you knew black history. So, like, you knew, again, I knew about, like, Tulsa. I knew about, like, Philadelphia. I knew about so much stuff early on. And now I'm just very curious to see how in the upcoming years, U.S. history will probably shift and change. Because I had a teacher, Sister Kenneth, in fourth grade, who did not fuck with Christopher Columbus. Just did not. Was like, I remember we got to it in class. She was like, well, this is the thing about him. And she was like an older woman, but like kind of cool or whatever. She had candy in her classroom and like pets. And she's like, listen, we have statues for this man, but he was not a good person. Yes, you can say we all now know where America is because of his mistake. She would always stop. Now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yo, she was so shady. But I'm curious to know, like, yeah, what will we have different discussions in our schools based on what's happening right now, you know?
I hope so.
Yeah. Burn it down. But there's one thing I just want to say. Braylock brought up a good point. You know, I feel like I was shading this movie. Like, I like that Hollywood is taking baby steps, you know, to change the perception of what's happening. I'm happy that, you know, now the white woman can be a tech, the bad guy can be a white guy, and the hero can be a Filipino man, and the love interest can be a black woman, the lead can be a black girl. You know, these are baby steps, you know? And I think we all have to understand that babies learn how to walk, you know? Babies learn how to walk very
damn
quickly.
That's deep, dude.
So okay. I just think, like,
well, where are you going with this?
Let's hear him out, everyone.
I think that's it. I don't know if he's going anywhere else.
We're in the baby step mode. But you know the cool thing about seeing a baby get their first steps? It's like, oh, it's so slow at first, but then they want to start running, and they just, like, going forward as fast as they can. We're cool to jump to that phase. I'm cool for Hollywood not to know what to do and just, like, say, hey, I'm going to just flood the gates with diverse voices because there's been such a lack. Hey, don't feel scared, Hollywood.
See, but you got to remember that when a baby gets all excited and starts running, they fall down. Okay?
You got to pick them back up. You got to be okay.
The baby will pick itself back up. Or if it's one of those cool babies that's learning the size of his head, the baby going to lean like it's going to fall and then quickly pull the head back up and lean back the other way.
One of those babies that's learning the size of its head.
Hollywood needs to trust that people of color, okay, will be able to pick themselves back up again, and that one fall doesn't mean all the babies won't know how to walk. That's all I'm saying. But James, you know,
that was beautiful. No, I mean, that was really beautiful. Here's a thought that I had while I was watching the movie, but like I didn't realize it until now, until after having this conversation. Is, you know, Jarrah has a point. Like the bad guy could have been a black guy. You know, another movie that didn't do that. Hancock, the bad guy, was just another white dude.
Was there a bad guy?
Why was the bad guy just another white dude? Hancock is a bad movie.
James, yes, it is bad. It is
talking about shoehorning something in.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Any final thoughts before we do?
Let's vote, baby.
Yeah, I mean that the end of the movie. We didn't even talk about it, but it's, you know, they beat the bad guy.
I have to say I loved the walk away in slow motion thing that they did twice. I thought that was so, and the fact that she still couldn't help herself and needed to look at the real explosion.
I feel like this is maybe like the last one I ever need to see. Like, I like that there were the dud and then he had to throw the grenade. That was like a fun little spin on it. But I feel like the trope of walk away from explosion is already dated. And the trope of making fun of that is now also dated. So I could just be done with it forever.
Literally, the other guys already did this. Like six years ago, or
so. Yeah, but not with a little kid, though.
21 Jump Street did it. Also, this little girl killed somebody. Like, was a part of like killing a dude, and she looks at him die and gives a one liner.
Dude, the other guys came out 10 years ago, like a full decade ago, and they did this exact thing, the exact same joke scene.
Don't even mention in this that this ending scene is a copy of Indiana Jones, where they're like,
yes, yeah. All that's missing is some Nazis.
That was kind of funny. I like that. But
In screenwriting terms, I'm usually a fan of like hanging a lampshade on things and just being like, we acknowledge we're doing this thing. But I feel like they did it so much in this movie that I'm like, at this point, you're being lazy. You know what I mean? You can do it like once or twice, but like third act.
This is my guess only because of like the more that I get into this industry, the more that I like see the tricks. And my strong guess is that all of those jokes were sincerely, all of the actual things were sincerely in the movie, and then they hired comedians to punch it up, and the comedians were like, oh god, I guess we'll just put a lampshade on this because there's nothing else to do. It's like this is all like you just borrowed and stole from a bunch of other things. like this is so unoriginal, and they were like, we'll make it original by doing this and doing that. And like Christian Schaal, I'm sure, like came up with some jokes, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Dave did too. He's really good.
He's
really good comedically. Like he really
I think overall, like I felt that same thing overall, the comedic tone of the movie, like the jokes were all such different styles of jokes. And I'm like, for sure, this was a punch up room. And like, that's like one comedian's joke. That's another comedian's joke.
Yes. So it's time for the cause. We rate and review films, not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors, or in this case, leading POC actors in Hollywood. So if we fully believe the film helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right. So on the count of three, we'll all lift up our ratings for this for My Spy. You guys ready?
Yep, yep.
One. Two. Actually,
Mike is
just
all teeth. He's smiling. Everybody's smiling.
Three.
Okay.
I'm glad you did, Mike, because I wanted to, but I didn't. But I thought Gerard was going to, but he didn't either, and that was surprising. We gave it a black fist, but Mike gave it a white palm. But go ahead.
Maybe I misunderstood the assignment.
You didn't.
So I'm approaching this from the perspective of being a Filipino man and seeing a Filipino man in a movie. And there were like things that I appreciated, like the fact that like women were swooning over him the whole time was like very cool, because traditionally Asian men very desexualized in film. So it was cool to see like an Asian guy that like was sexy and appealing to women. But and this is not Dave Bautista's fault, because he can't help the way he looks. So it's just like he's not the most Asian man in the world. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, on paper, that kind of like does stuff for the cause, the Filipino man cause, but not as much as like a full black fist would have done.
100%. Yeah, that's true.
See, that's real. I honestly gave it a fist because Dave Bautista was in it. And like honestly, Mike, I think I gave it a fist for the reasons you gave it a palm. I was like, because women were swooning for him and I hadn't seen it. But also I was like, because I can't think of a male Filipino actor who is leading a movie. I was like, all right, I just got to give it to him because the fact that he just led a movie.
Yeah.
I know that sucks and like, kind of like, was it, Bray, I feel like I've heard you say it before. It was like pulling from like dangling fruit or something. Like, what is it? Like low hanging fruit. Like, I know it's not the biggest
dangling
deal,
fruit,
but it's like, because Hollywood hasn't started doing the adult steps yet, I think I'm just happy for the baby steps.
Yeah. I think it was less because of Dave, because I think Dave has kind of established himself in his career. Like, I don't know if this movie is helping him even more or less. And it's always hard when it's like the token in the industry, like the one like example of like, oh, but this person, and it's like, yeah, but is that helping other people? And if it's not, it feels like a half measure. It was a little, I gave it a fist a little bit more because of Chloe Coleman and Devere, because I've never seen Devere before, and I thought he was so, so funny, you know, and like, I was like, I want to see this guy in more movies, and I'm hoping that happens. I don't know if it will, but I'm like hoping, and like Chloe, I saw her in Upload, but like, this is, you know, a movie, obviously, and it was like, she was like the co-lead, and, you know, she is mixed, and she is light-skinned, but she's that, and I don't, you know, there's no judgment about any of this. It's just that, like, to me, there's a difference between like Chloe and like what's her name, like Haley Steinfeld, but like there's also a difference between like Chloe and Storm too, you know what I mean? Like the shade, like, you know, and Chloe is like, so she's so light-skinned that you're like, oh, she obviously has a white parent, and then like some other, you know, ethnicity, which is I believe is black, but you know, yeah, and that's like
African,
yeah, and it's like, you could tell, you could kind of tell that, but it's also like, yeah, but she's very, very, very light skin. Still, I want her to have success. I think she's a great actress, and this was a big vehicle for her. And then also Parisa, who plays the mom, is stunning. First, I just like,
number one. just first of all, she's gorgeous.
I mean, no, she's also an incredible actress.
Jamaican,
and she's been in like, yeah, she was in like Luke Cage, but like, I don't know how many movies she's been in. Oh, she's in some movie called Fantasy Island. What is this?
Yeah,
oh, it's a new horror movie that came out.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. I still haven't seen it. I'm gonna buy it.
It's not. It. Oh, James. Yeah, look, man. When I'll you come back for this
Mike,
episode.
Mike,
you seen it?
Yeah.
James, okay. When you buy it on your Vudu, just let me know. Unless
I'm not
going to
do
passwords.
It on my Vudu because you got the password. Do it on some other platform.
Yeah, but she's so great too, and I would love to see her in more stuff. So that's why I gave it a black fist. But
I mean, I gave it a black fist for a lot of the same reasons everybody just talked about. Like, one of them for me is also seeing Dave outside of the makeup. Like, I mean, I know he was a I know he was a wrestler and he's been in other things, but like, I have not seen him in everything that he's been in. So like, you know, this was another opportunity to see, because that becomes a thing, you know, people being in makeup or people being voice actors or whatever that are people of color. And yeah, the whole cast for me, like I thought that like, it was really great how diverse the cast was. And for me specifically, like comparing it to like a Cop and a Half, where like Cop and a Half is the opposite of this, you know. I don't know. I thought it was just like a great diverse group of folk.
Yeah. All the performers, I wish them well. No problems with the performances in this movie.
Yeah.
Script. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, dude, Mike, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
Yeah, can people follow you on social media?
Please do. I'm at Mike Cabalon anywhere and everywhere. I don't really have anything to plug because, again, no one knows when my show is going to hit the air. And the one thing that I did have to plug is not online anymore. And Gerard was in it. So you missed out that boat. And
what?
Yeah, just follow me and there'll be more stuff coming out.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you could follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you'll find links to our merch. We have new shirts. We got a Hancock shirt. Is Hancock a good movie?
Is Hancock a good movie? Because we don't know yet, you know? We still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, apparently we're still trying to figure it out. Oh, and then, you can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow Jarrah at Jarrah Milligan, but he's probably not on social or something. It feels like something he would say right now. And I'm at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
And if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars, we will read your review on the air. This is B Simp 525. Hey guys, I have a love-hate relationship with these podcasts. I often wish I could live comment, especially on movies from the 80s, 90s, because I see the age difference when experiencing these movies. I'm glad you guys go back and try to experience these movies, and I look forward to listening, even if I do get frustrated and go into old head mode.
This guy knows he can do live commentary. There's nothing stopping him from talking out loud.
Say it out loud, but also you could tweet at us. And then, oh man, I gotta read this one. This is by Jim H. 12321. Great podcast. I enjoyed Astronomy Club enough to check this out. Great discussions on movies from the past with focus on black representation. I think James III should get Hancock too. He deserves it for how much he brings it up. Also, Jonathan Braylock should play the lead in it.
Wow. Did your moms write this one?
Ha ha, James. That's called karma. Seriously, though,
this person hate
you
me?
Guys are great. Thanks for the podcast.
Who wrote that review?
Right? I don't know. Some guy named Jim H. No, yeah, Jim H. 12321.
Jim H. 12321.
Yeah,
clearly hates me. Wow.
Yeah, it's not my mom because they spelled my name wrong. Even though I love that they said this. All right, that's enough from us. Do we know what we're doing next week? No, we never do. So we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!